Well, hey, everybody, and thanks for being at Crosswind Church this morning, especially if you're a guest here with us today. We are so honored that you've taken time out of your weekend, out of your Sunday morning to be here with us this summer. And if you would do us a favor, if you would scan the QR code in front of you, we will let you give some of our money away. So just because you've taken time out of your weekend, if you give us a little bit of information about your visit, a record of your visit, so to speak, you have the option on that guest card to tell us where you'd like to send some money to a local nonprofit here in the area, all because you took 60 minutes of your Sunday morning and hung out here with us at Crosswind Church. We think that is really, really, really cool. For the rest of us in the place, all of us, in fact, got a couple things I want to talk about before we dive into part two of this series that we've entitled A Fresh Take on Familiar Stories. Last week was a whirlwind, y'all. If you were a parent, a step-parent, a grandparent, like if you just knew a kid in the area, you probably dumped them off here Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, didn't you? 129 kids on average showed up last week to, absolutely. Camp Chaos, as we call it, formerly known as VBS, but from going forward, you're going to hear Camp Chaos a lot. That is probably one of our largest events that we do right here at Crosswind Church, where we get to hang out with kiddos on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday last week, and it was one of our largest events that we had, not only larger as far as kids go, but prior to the event, Courtney was telling us, our Crosswind Kids Director, she was telling us, like, we've had more volunteers show up, thank God, because a bunch of y'all dumped your kids off on us. So if you were a volunteer and you put one of these shirts on last week, or you helped with decorations, setting up, small group leaders, there was so much involved. I'm going to miss somebody for saying something, you know, from worship teams and skits, tech, security, arts and crafts, games, all the things in between. If you put on one of these t-shirts and you served last week, the next generation, parents, grandparents, put your hands together and let's thank them real quick for me. Thank you guys so much. You are literally not just saying that you're in for the next gen, you're actually quite literally showcasing being in for the next gen. We had a lot of kids learn about Psalm 23. We had kids raise over $1,000 to go to mission. So that's really cool as well. Really, really cool. So exciting things happening at Crosswind Church. And one of the things that I want to point out with Camp Chaos and a lot of the events that go on at Crosswind Church, there are a lot of churches, let me just say, in the United States, I don't know all of them, but a few of them that I've heard, they have problems with getting volunteers to help do the different ministries, whether it's Sunday morning, Wednesday night, extracurriculars, all the things. I'm proud to say that's not a problem at Crosswind Church, but one of the reasons why I think it's not a problem is because we have an incredible staff that help recruit and help train all of you guys. And so with Camp Chaos, it is a all-hands-on-deck situation. And so shout out to all of our staff. Myself and Audrey and Daniel were all involved in that. And we're kind of not involved in Crosswind Kids a whole lot. And so we all pitched in and helped in that. But last but certainly not least, two of our staff, Casey Elliott, who is our administrative director, is basically keeps the structure of Crosswind Church going on, right? That's why bills get paid and all that kind of stuff, because I don't know how to do it. And so Casey Elliott, who is heavily involved with Crosswind Kids, and of course, Courtney Bondrant, who is our Crosswind Kids director, massive shout out to them for leading and guiding and directing, making all the decisions, buying all the things, just did an incredible job for our kiddos. There might not be two people that love our children more than we, our parents, than those two at Crosswind Church. So please give it up for them one more time. Appreciate them very much. And since, you know, since I got the microphone, I might as well talk about this. I don't know if you know this or not, but the majority of our staff are women. The majority of our volunteers at Crosswind Church are women. There are things that happen at Crosswind Church that would not happen without the leadership, the value, and the appreciation of women. Now, I say that because there's been a lot of talk about women and where they belong in the church and a lot of things about Southern Baptist churches. And I can't speak for all Southern Baptist churches, but I can tell you a little bit about Crosswind Church. And I can tell you, as long as I am the lead pastor of Crosswind Church, we will value, we will appreciate, and any lady, I don't care if you're in middle school or the nursing home, if you have a gift, a talent, or a calling, you belong at Crosswind Church. Do you understand me? Do you hear me? And anybody who has a problem with that knows where I work. Now, with all that being said, We have a mission trip coming up this week, and I'm very excited about those 12 individuals who are going to Honduras. And so before we dive into part two of this series, I wanted to take a moment to let you guys know to be in prayer this week as we move them as an extension of Crossman Church to Honduras. We've got 12 folks who are going to leave out Union City this afternoon, going to go down to Memphis and get an early flight in the morning down to somewhere and then to Honduras. And so let me pray for them. Pray for them this week as you go about and do your things. They're going to be gone all week long, going to come back late on Saturday, early Sunday morning. But we're so excited for them. Thank you for those of you who have given to missions, to Como, to the different things that happen at Crosswind Church. Not only do you help help send people to Honduras, but you also help fund the projects and the things that they're going to do this week. And so let's pray for them real quick, and then we'll get into this morning's message. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time of worship that we had, and we're honored to be a part of an incredible worship experience here this morning. But Father, before we dive into your word, may we stop and pause and just thank you for all the things that are going on at Crosswind Church. From kids to students to missions to groups, Sunday mornings, all there's just amazing things going on. And so, but in the middle of that, God, we know that this week there are going to be 12 individuals who are going to remove themselves from the normal, who are going to remove themselves from what they know, and they're going to get on a plane, they're going to go to a foreign place and a foreign culture. And so, God, we ask that you be with them. We ask that you provide for them, that you protect them, you keep them safe, obviously, you keep them healthy, obviously, but further than all of that, Lord, we ask that you would help them show the practical love of Christ in a real and a fascinating way. Not just to spend some money and go overseas, but God, would you do something incredible, not only in the lives of the Honduran people because of Crosswind Church and our team, but would you do something amazing and life-changing in the 12 individuals and the 12 team members that are headed down there this week? And it's in Jesus' name I pray. And everybody at Crosswind Church said, amen. Amen. Now that all of the celebrating and the praying is over, I'm going to take you to the most depressing book in the Bible. All right, so I want you to go to the book of Job today. If you're not familiar with Job, you can quite literally go to the middle of your Bible, if you got a book Bible, and try to open it up to the middle section, and most of the time you'll land somewhere in Psalms. Ha-ha, I did it. And if you'll go to the left, there's Job right there before Psalms. And so we're going to start with Job chapter 1, verse 1. If you're new to Job, we're going to give you a little bit of information, a little bit of a bio of this guy by the name of Job. In the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and he shunned evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 donkeys, and had a large number of servants. He was the greatest man among all the people of the East. Now, this is a very, very old book. It's one of the oldest texts in the Bible. And so the way that they would tell bios back in the days of like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they would list for you all the things that you had, right? So imagine Job's bio looks a little bit like this. So he's got 7 sons, 3 daughters, exactly what we read. This is what his bio looks like, right? Can you imagine putting this on your socials? Like where you've got social media or you're part of a company that has a website, you got a little bit of information on you. Imagine if we did that for the church bio, right? Imagine we did that for the staff. Here's what mine would look like. I got 1 wife, I got 3 kids, I got 1 house, I got 2 dogs, I got 2 cars, I don't have a lot of servants, got a lot of debt. Right? You know what I'm talking about? Like, that's how they would do it back then. That if you wanted to know something about somebody, they would tell all of the things that this person had. And according to Job right here, this dude was loaded. This guy had his stuff. And we also know he wasn't just loaded because he was a jerk. He was blameless. He was upright. He feared God and he shunned evil. And then as you continue reading in verse 6, the story pivots massively. Let me show you what I'm talking about. One day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming throughout the earth, going back and forth on it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil." Now, imagine God calls a staff meeting and Satan sneaks in. That's kind of what is happening right here. He's getting a report from what's all going on according to the jobs and the things that he's given angels to do. And Satan comes in with him and he's like, "What are you doing? Where'd you come from? He says, you come from the earth. Now, Peter, on the backside of your Bible, tells us that he is roaming around, right? That the devil roams around, trying to seek someone that he can devour, right? So we kind of know a little bit about Satan from our scripture. But like when you read this, and as a church kid, right? Like if you grew up in Sunday school, like if you read this or you were taught this, doesn't it feel like God kind of throws like Job like under the bus? Like, doesn't it feel like Job's like this good guy and he's like over here and God's like, hey, have you heard about Job, Satan? Hey, I mean, like, it's kind of like tossing of the wolves, kind of like becoming the scapegoat. Like, have you considered Job? He's awesome. He's one of the greatest people to ever live. Have you heard about him, Satan? And like, even as a Sunday school kid, you're like, God, that's mean. Like, why would you do that? But interestingly enough, the word, our English word considering right here in the original language has some military implications. Just like any military leader, military commander would consider a city, would consider a fortress, would consider a coastline before an attack, this is the same thing that is going on here in Job. So a better way of translating the question God asks is really, hey, Satan, aren't you considering my servant Job? Like, you're considering Job, aren't you? Like, you would like to mess with Job, wouldn't you? And let's be honest, wouldn't it be really cool, like, if God was talking about us, and, like, if God was talking to us with the angels, like, wouldn't it be cool if God said, that's our servant? Like, wouldn't it be cool if God's, like, talking to the angels one day, and he's like, do you know my servant Garrett? Like, wouldn't you like to have that description before your name? And so God is telling us on the front end of this story that this is his boy. Like, this is his guy. But Satan is already thinking, I wish I could take down Job. And if I could take down Job, it would be a massive accomplishment. And we know that God is all-knowing. And so God already knows what Satan is scheming and wanting to do. And so God points out that Satan is already considering Job to take down. And if you really want to take Job down, don't you know that he's blameless? He's a man of integrity. Like, don't you know this? But if you think you can trip him up, Satan, do your worst. Do your worst, but here's the deal. You can't touch his life. And so Satan begins to implement some sufferings upon Job's life. And when you begin reading Job 1, you see that in a bundle of notifications, so to speak, his oxen and his donkeys are stolen. A raiding party comes and gets his camels. His sheep and his servants are all killed by nearby enemies. And if that's not bad enough, if losing your entire livelihood, if losing all of your livestock back in the ancient days isn't enough, one day all of his children, all 10 of his children in the same house celebrating and partying and eating and drinking and feasting, and a wind hits that house and it collapses that house, and in a moment, all 10 of his children are gone too. The book of Job is about suffering, if you can't tell by now. And just in the first chapter, we see horrible loss, terrible tragedy on one man who, despite the culture, despite even today's culture, sometimes we think sin is brought on by, or suffering is brought on by some type of sin. Where this story, just a warning for those of you, this story is going to showcase you that's not always the case, because Job here was a blameless guy. Not perfect, but he walked in the ways of God. And in a moment's notice, we see him lose his livestock and most of his family. And what's interesting about this story is what happens in verse 20. At this, right after all this happens, at this, Job got up, tore his robe, shaved his head, and then he fell down to the ground. Everybody notice the last two words, say it together, 1, 2, 3, in worship. I don't know about you, but that's not natural. If all of this happened to me, if I lost everything that I showed you on that bio earlier, if I lost everything like Job did, I'm not falling to the ground in worship. And I'm a pastor, I'm just going to be honest with you. I'd be falling down cussing mad. overwhelmed with anger, red hot rage, frustrated, almost maybe even just hatred toward God, because I know that God is in control. And if I know that God is in control, what's he doing? Did he fall asleep? Did he fall off the throne? What's going on? And let's just be honest, as people living on planet Earth, we've all experienced this. And if you haven't experienced suffering on this planet, you haven't lived long enough. And if you keep living, you're going to experience, because that's what this planet is. It's evil, and it's fallen, and it's broken. And it's a world full of suffering. And Job continues. Verse 21, he actually says, "Naked I came from my mother's womb. Naked I will depart. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away." Notice this last part. "May the name of the Lord be praised." Would you say that together on three? One, two, three.
May the name of the Lord be praised.
Is that what you say when the doctor comes back and says it's cancer? Is that what we say after we work so hard, extra weekends and long nights, and the promotion is still denied? May the name of the Lord be praised. When the adult child of yours slips back into the addiction, is that what you say? May the name of the Lord be praised. When the university sends you the notification that you didn't get into their school, is that what you say? May the name of the Lord be praised. When the investment that you were so excited about and you were so pumped up about tanks, do you say, may the name of the Lord be praised? More than likely, that's not what we say, is it? We say other things that I probably can't say from this stage, because that's real. That's life on planet Earth. But I want you to notice from the story and the inspiration of Job, may the name of the Lord be praised. And here's the deal. No matter what you've gone through in this life, sooner or later, you're going to realize something about suffering. That suffering is either going to stall you or it's going to strengthen you. And for some of you in this room, like, I'll just be honest with you, because I know some of your stories. I don't know all your stories, but I know some of your stories. And like, I've seen your suffering and I know what you've gone through. And I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't know how you get out of bed in the morning. Like, I quite literally don't know how you put one foot in front of the other and go to work. How you actually exist as a functional human being, going about your day, living your life throughout your weeks because of the suffering, because of the hand that you've been dealt. And I'll just be honest with you, you are quite literally an inspiration to the rest of us. And the reason for that, the reason that you're an inspiration, is because the suffering that you're dealing with, the suffering that you dealt with, or the suffering that's coming, you've just realized, I'm going to allow it to strengthen me. Because if not, it's going to stall me out, it's going to bog me down, and I'm going to be worth nothing. Now, there might be seasons of that, right? There might be seasons where you fall on the ground and it just stalls you out. And we're going to see that with Job. But eventually, at some point, there has to be a decision. Am I going to allow this to keep me down, to take me out, or am I going to use it to be strengthened? Am I going to use it to continue on? And for those of you who have suffered greatly on planet Earth, and you're here today or you're watching online, and I know your story, let me tell you, you are quite literally an inspiration. Thank you for allowing and showcasing for the rest of us how suffering can strengthen you. Now, when you move into chapter 2 of Job, you get kind of the same recurrence. God calls another staff meeting. Satan comes in, and he gets permission to mess with Job's body a little bit. And so Satan begins to inflict upon Job these massive, painful sores. And so now we find Job losing everything, all of his children, and now his body is just covered in these painful sores. So now his physical health has gone down. And in a conversation with his wife, Job asks one of the greatest questions I might have ever seen in Scripture. Chapter 2, verse 10, Job says, "Shall we accept good from God and not trouble?" What's your answer? This is a tough one. Because we like the blessings, we like the grace, we like the forgiveness, we like the promotion, we like the new car, we like the stuff, we like all of those things, and those things can be great, but like, Job asked a fantastic question here. And it's not just because some ancient dude by the name of Job asked it. It's really a foreshadowing to what Jesus said. In John 16, verse 33, Jesus said, hey, by the way, in this world, guess what? You're going to have trouble. And somewhere along the way, Christians who have been persecuted or suffered a little bit, they think that God isn't on their side. Are you crazy? Have you not read Job? If not, have you not read the words of Jesus? Jesus makes it very clear. And if it's not I'll tell you this, if it's not Job, if it's not Jesus, would you listen to James? Would you listen to his brother James? We read this a few weeks ago, and it's so good, I'm going to read it again. Hang with me. James, in the very first chapter of his letter we read back at the end of April, he says this, consider it pure joy, brothers and sisters, or Christians, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And if anyone lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position, but the rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wild flower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich will fade away even when they go about their business. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person received the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who loved him. So whether it's James, Jesus, or Job, you got to figure this out. Suffering is either going to stall you or it's going to strengthen you. And by the way, whether you believe in Job's story, I know it's an ancient text, so you may not even believe he existed. Okay, would you believe the words of Jesus when he quite literally said, you're going to have trouble in this world. You don't get to escape this life unscarred. And if it's not Jesus, would you believe his half-brother? He says, we need to consider it joy to go through these things because it tests our faith that leads to perseverance, which leads to maturity and completeness in Christ. And blessed are you for suffering and persevering and enduring. Now, I've only got about 14 minutes left, and the book of Job is about 42 chapters. So on your mark, get set. I was just kidding. The book of Job is 42 chapters long, and it's really can be divided in three sections. The first two chapters, as I've kind of summarized for you, can be considered the prologue. It kind of gives you the basis of the story. And the middle section, basically chapters 3 through 37, is a dialogue, because Job's suffering is so great that a couple of his friends show up and try to help him. They hear of his suffering, they hear of his loss, and they come and sit with him for a little while. They come and hang out with him for a little while. And there's a lot of dialogue in the middle of Job. And there's some great conversations. There's kind of some like conversations that like that his friends should have just like hushed, but like it's recorded in scripture kind of a thing. They really just begin this like philosophical debate about, is God just? Is his justice meaningful? Is God really, like maybe Job did something wrong that caught? So there's like a lot of these like questions. And some of the things that are said in the middle are really, really great. Like one of my favorites is Job 13:15, where Job says, though he slay me, I will hope in him. Like, how much faith do you need to say that? That's a powerful statement. But then he goes on into chapter 19, and he says something that some of us grew up singing. I know that my Redeemer lives. In other words, I know that the one who is on the throne, I know the one who will quite literally, I know the one who will vindicate me lives. As we sang earlier, if there's one thing I know, he's still on the throne. And then after all of this debate and all of this dialogue and all of this conversation, chapter 38 is the beginning of what I call the epilogue. It's the last five chapters of Job. This is what's recorded, verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Job out of the storm. He said, "Who is this that obscures my plans with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me." Woo! What a boss move, right? Can you imagine if Netflix put this into a film series, right? God literally shows up in a storm and he's like, "What moron is talking about things that has no idea that he's talking about? Oh, by the way, Job, I've got questions. Sack up. Let's talk about it." It is quite literally, gird up your loins. It means prepare yourself. We got work to do. And God says, "I've got questions now, and you're going to answer them." If I was Job, I would need a new pair of underwear right now. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, God has shown up in all glory and all power and speaks through the storm. And he's like, "You have no idea what y'all have been talking about for the last 30-something chapters. Who speaks words without wisdom?" It's time. It's time to put up or shut up. The book of Job has roughly 330 questions. It has more questions than any other book of the Bible, and it's a lot of dialogue and discussion, and now it's God's turn. God shows up in the storm, and he says, "Okay, I've got some questions for you, Job." Now, I don't have time to read all of these next chapters, but let me read you some of my favorites. And by the way, some of my favorite scriptures when reading the words of God is when God is very sarcastic. Check this out. Verse 4, God is speaking to Job. "Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimension? Surely you know." Verse 12, "Have you ever given orders to the morning or shown the dawn its place?" Verse 18, "Have you comprehended the vast expanseness of the earth? Tell me if you know. What is the way to the abode of light? And where does darkness reside? Can you take them to their places? Do you know the paths to their dwelling? Surely you know, for you are already born. You have lived so many years." Verse 32, "Can you bring forth the constellation in their seasons?" 33, "Do you know the laws of the heaven? Can you set up God's dominion over the earth?" The rest of 38, the rest of 39 into chapter 40 is just more questions. Finally, in verse 3 of chapter 40, Job has an opportunity. He answers the Lord. Verse 4, "I am unworthy. How can I reply to you? I put my hand over my mouth. I spoke once and I have no answer. Twice, but I will say no more." Then the Lord spoke to Job out of the storm. "Brace yourself like a man. I will question you and you shall answer me." And all of chapter 40, he goes through it again. All of chapter 41, he just unloads. And then chapter 42, Job finally has another opportunity to respond. Verse 1, Job replied to the Lord. Verse 2, "I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted." That's a great verse to highlight, underline, memorize, learn, by the way. "You asked, 'Who is this that obscures my plans without knowledge? Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. You said, 'Listen now, and I will speak, and I will question you, and you shall answer me.' My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore, I despise myself and repent in ashes, in dust and ashes. Therefore, I recant. Therefore, I didn't know what I was talking about. I didn't realize that my words were so without wisdom, and I am so, so sorry." How many times is that us in our lives? When we experience tragedy, dilemmas, situations, circumstances, and we say things that we have zero idea what we're talking about. In frustration, in anger, in ignorance, in arrogance. And this is Job. This is Job where he shows up and has a conversation with God. Now don't miss this, because this is where a lot of people, Christians and non-Christians, skeptics and critics, people that are curious about faith, this is what we want. When it comes to suffering, this is the age-old question. We want to know the answer. We want to know why. Why is there suffering? Why do bad things happen to good people? And just like Job, right? When you read the book of Job, it's known as a book of suffering. We're like, aha, here's a book, here's a Bible, here's a chapter and a verse. Surely it's in here. And I promise you, you can read all 42 chapters, every word, and you're not going to get an explanation. But I do want you to notice what Job gets. He gets an encounter. Don't miss this. This applies to us today. We want an explanation for our suffering. And instead of an explanation, we get an encounter. God steps off the throne, and he's born in Bethlehem, and he suffers. He suffers as a child, as a teenager, as a young man. He suffers as a rabbi, as he leads 12 men, plus women too, for 3 to 3.5 years. He suffers on the way to the cross. He lives a life of suffering, and he dies like all of us. But he came back from the dead to prove to us, to show us, to allow us to encounter him. Just like Job encountered God in the storm, we can encounter Jesus. He lived, he died, he was resurrected for our sake, our sin, and our stories. And I know it would be so much easier if we got an explanation for the reason why we went through this, that, or the other. But just like Job, we have to understand God is in control and we are not. That his plans are greater than our plans. That his ways are mightier than our ways. That he's got it all in control. That he is sovereign. He has not fallen off the throne. He is on the throne forever and ever and ever and ever. And he's got your world in his hands. And no matter what you've gone through, no matter how many times you've blamed God, you've cussed God, you've been aggravated at God, maybe you've hated God. Maybe you're at the point this morning where you're not even sure why you're here, but you're so angry at God. Can I just tell you? That's okay. He can take it. Just like Job and his friends, he took it. All of their questions, all of their dialogue and debate, he just took it. And finally, he shows up. And maybe this morning at Crosswind Church, this is God's way of allowing you to encounter him. Maybe this is the place where you could encounter God today. Maybe instead of just looking at this on the screen once a week, maybe you would open this up tomorrow. This is where you will encounter God more than the words off of this microphone. This, when you take it home, whether it's in book form or app form, this is where you can encounter God. It is his living, breathing words. He wants to encounter you. He wants you to encounter him. Satan's great hope with Job is the same great hope he's got for you. He wanted to distract Job with his suffering. If I could just mess with Job a little bit, he wouldn't be considered blameless anymore. He would stop fearing God. He would stop shunning evil and start doing evil. But that's not what happens. Job continues, if you read the rest of chapter 42. He continues trusting in God. He continues putting God first. And so the fresh take on this familiar story is quite simple this morning. Whether you're the church kid that walked away from faith, whether you're here every week, or maybe you're the skeptic in the room, the critic, when I read the story of Job and I try to apply it to us today, here's my encouragement for you. You should never allow the things you don't understand about God to distract you from the things that you do. Because I could probably argue that many of us understand that Jesus came to live, die, and was resurrected for us. That's a confirmed fact based on eyewitness testimony truth. That's what you know. And there might be some other things that you don't know. I'll be the first one to admit, there's some things in here that I don't understand. There's a lot of things out there I don't understand. I don't understand what happened in Kenton last night. I don't understand what's going on with Iran. I don't understand a lot of things in the marketplace. But you know what I do understand? Do you know what I refuse to stop believing? Just because there are things that I don't understand, it's not going to stop me. It's not going to distract me. It's not going to rob me of the things that I do understand. And I know that God is on the throne. I know our Heavenly Father has got a plan and a will. And it's our job as Jesus followers. It's our job as Christians. It's our job as people of faith to simply do what He asks. To simply follow Him. To simply trust Him in the good, in the bad, and even the ugly. And come hell or high water, let's be a people who says this. Ready? We're going to say it on three. What Job says. No matter what comes our way, this week, last week, 2 weeks from now, when school starts back, when 2027 rolls here, we're going to be a people who says this phrase right here. Let's say it together on three. One, two, three. May the name of the Lord be praised. Let me pray for you this morning. Heavenly Father, I am so thankful that you did not abandon us to the suffering of this world, that you stepped down into it. You stepped down into the slums of Bethlehem to be born and raised by people who would suffer. You are quite literally a God who can empathize with His people. Lord, I ask that you would forgive us today collectively for forgetting that, for not trusting in you, for becoming angry with you, like you dealt our suffering hand, like it's your fault. No, no, no. It's the world in which we live. It's this evil, fallen, broken world, and you, God, have called us to be the light. You, God, have called us to be the salt. And so, Father, forgive us for not trusting in you in times of suffering. Forgive us for thinking that you're not in control. Forgive us for thinking that you're not on the throne, for you are always on the throne. God, I pray for the people who are suffering in the place, arguably all of us, but for some of us more than others. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would wrap your arms of love and grace and mercy around them. May Crosswind Church be a church that is loving and compassionate and full of people that wants to gather around those who are suffering. Gather around the brokenhearted to be the hands and feet of Jesus. God, I am so proud of what you're doing in and through Crosswind Church. Continue to use us and grant us impact and influence in the days, the weeks, the years, and the decades to come. And it's in Jesus' name. And everybody at Crosswind Church said, amen. Amen and amen. Y'all grab you a donut on the way out. My bad. And have a great week.